Let's head to a Washington, D.C. Congressman Bill Flores joins us. Good morning, Congressman. How are you?
Howdy, Scott. Great to be on the Infomaniacs this morning.
Had a little technical difficulty that kept us from being able to visit yesterday, but let's first of all talk about comments that you made in a television interview with KBTX having to do with the Donald Trump Jr. situation and the Russians. You had some pretty interesting thoughts. Expand on those for us, please.
Well, first of all, let me say this. We don't know how much there is there on this issue. I will say this. When I was running for Congress back in 2010, I had a variety of people come to me and said, hey, we've got the magic bullet to help you defeat your opponent. And usually these conversations would take about 10 minutes because you'd find out they're really just trying to get into some of your campaign funds. So I'm assuming this is probably similar to that. But that said, I think it's important that the Senate and House Oversight Committee or Intelligence Committees investigate this, as well as all the other alleged Russian interference in our election. And I have confidence that between those two investigations and the FBI that the truth will come out. So I'm not totally freaked out about it at this point in time, but I do believe that it should be part of the investigation, and I'm confident that it will be. That said, I think it brings up one of the issues that's where I was quoted last time, and I think the adult children of President Trump need to get out of the White House and go back and do what they were doing before. I just don't think it's healthy to have all those family members in as advisors. I think they need to go out and do something else and stay outside of the administration at this point in time.
Now, and I'm not sure that I'm defending the president on this, but clearly when you want to build a management team, you want to build a team with people who you trust. And if you grew up in the political process or in D.C., you have people from inside the Beltway that you knew about. I mean, even President Bush, 43, was new to the presidency and new to Washington politics, so he took some people from his dad's administration. So, I mean, this is a guy who is bringing in the people he trusts. I understand your concerns about it being family, but if you're a businessman who's now become president of the United States, where do you go then to build this team?
Well, I mean, he has done a good job, in my view of the world, in terms of avoiding getting entangled in the swamp like you've seen other administrations do. And he has brought in good outside people. That said, I think that sometimes allegiance to family can be blinding and it may keep you from making the best decisions. And so that's the reason I think it's important to go ahead and you've also got to remember that from what I understand, most of his kids are running the businesses that he formerly ran. And so I think there could be some entanglements or some appearance of entanglements that you don't want to have. So I think it would be healthier to have them not be involved in policy. I mean, one of the things that's been concerning for me is to have Jared Kushner, his son-in-law, running around the world visiting with foreign leaders. I just don't know that Jared has an understanding of foreign policy well enough to be that person. So I think that's really rightfully the Secretary of State's job, and that's the reason I made the comment I did. I think it's important that we have the cabinet level folks do this type, along with the chief of staff, do this type of work rather than having the president's family involved.
Congressman Bill Flores joining us from Washington. Of course, the business of running the country goes on, and while the House has done their part, the Senate once again still trying to come up with some sort of a health care repeal and replace package. Supposed to roll it out today. Anything that you have heard or can share with us on that?
No, I haven't heard anything. They've kept it pretty tight, and I haven't seen much in the way of leaks come out. I've heard about different folks that have offered different amendments to the ultimate bill, but I don't know. You know, but I'm in the same position as everybody else in the American public to find out what's happening when it's rolled out today. It's my understanding that there'll be a vote on it sometime next week, and then after that, we'll either go to conference with the Senate look at how it marries up with the House bill, or the House will just simply vote on the Senate bill.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago you said you didn't think it'd go to conference because there's an urgency. There's certainly a sense of urgency. Can we say that there have been no Democrats in this conversation at all? Is that fair to say?
Well, it's my understanding both the president and the majority leader McConnell have reached out to the Democrats, but that they have not been terribly engaging on this. They seem to be focused on trying to save the sinking ship of Obamacare. And that's just, if that's your sole focus in life, you're not going to find a good bipartisan solution.
Well, you know, if they don't get that done, I know you want to get something done. Tax reform is one of the things that would certainly help if you have that feather in your cap. House Budget Committee, I know, is trying to move through this process, but there have been even new demands from the House Freedom Caucus, I guess, yesterday or so. Where are we as far as the budget process is concerned, and where is tax reform in that, in your view?
Well, 90%. Well, first of all, let me say this. We need to have a budget in order to do tax reform, because you've got to have reconciliation instructions in the budget that provide the rail car that tax reform rides on. So if you don't have your budget, you're not going to have tax reform. So that would be a critical mistake, I think, to demand perfection in the budget and then essentially blow up tax reform in the process. About 90% of conferences agreed on defense numbers, non-defense numbers, and also on the level of mandatory savings that we need to get to try to right-size the federal budget. So the budget committee is going to mark the budget up on the 20th. I think we're there, and I'm hopeful that we don't have people trying to shift the goalpost on us to keep us from achieving a path to budget balance and also blow up tax reform. So that's where I'm hoping we go.
I guess it was the week before you were out. The Congress took some action on changes at the VA. We've actually seen VA employees fired, have we not?
We have. So it's my understanding that over 500 have been terminated due to poor performance. And that's exactly what should have been happening for decades. And so I'm glad to see that the VA administrator, as well, with encouragement from the president, has begun to clean up the swamp over to VA so that we put veterans first instead of the bureaucracy. And we passed bills to support the president in his attempts to do this.
And then also immigration legislation?
Yes, we had two bills. One was No Sanctuary for Criminals Act, and the other one was Cates Law. And they protect, one deals with sanctuary cities, sanctuary states. The other one deals with illegal immigrants who have come in multiple times, and who like the one who killed Kay Stanley out in California. And also they deal directly with the immigrants like the guy last night, or the guy yesterday in Nebraska, that killed somebody in a DWI. He had entered multiple times illegally. And so these two bills would deal with that.
Finally today, I'd like to get your thoughts on what's going on in the federal courtroom in San Antonio as they're looking at the way that the congressional districts are drawn. And, of course, your district is one of the several districts that touches into Travis County, and that's the very thing that there are parties that are complaining about, is that they marginalize minorities so that the representation is not a true picture of Texas. What are you hearing, or what's your sense that'll come out of San Antonio?
Well, my guess is, based on the prior actions of the court, and again, I don't know that prior actions are indications of future behavior, but we have to remember a couple things. One is the maps they're talking about for the maps that the court drew, which were later adopted by the state legislature. So to the extent there are defects in the current maps, they were defects that were part of the maps approved by the court back in 2012. My guess is the court's going to get real aggressive in redrawing districts, and that will go to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court will throw it out, and then we'll engage in litigation from there. Or not engaging in litigation, but, you know, the State House may have to look at the maps again. It's kind of interesting. I mean, we're only talking about two elections left, the 2018 and 2020 elections, and then we'll have a new census and redraw the maps again. Texas likely will pick up three seats and when we go through that redistricting process.
So in other words, we may not even get it done by 2018, as you say. Then there are only two more cycles before we got brand new numbers and we have to shuffle them again, right?
Exactly.
Frustrating process. Congressman Bill Flores joins us most every Wednesday. You can hear our interviews archived on the website at WTAW.com. Thanks for making time for us today.
You bet. Great talking to you again, Scott. I'd ask our listeners to continue praying for our country, our military men and women, and our first responders.